Hello?
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 Hello, who have I got there?
This is Bill Martin.
Hi, Bill Martin. This is Adrienne Leeds.
How are you, Adrienne? Delightful to hear from you.
Well, same here. You're the first one on. So now we're waiting for from our specialist from HIFX, and it looks like we're going to have an awful lot of people online tonight. So,
Well,
okay,
I'm
so we're
just
going
going
to sit.
to keep mine on mute. I doubt that I'll have any questions, but I don't want to block the sound. I suggest everybody mute theirs.
Well, yeah, and we can actually mute it from here as well. But, we're going to wait till everybody kind of gets on and gets settled, and then Justin Harris will be on from HIFX, and he'll start the presentation. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Dallas. I attended your special short program in New Orleans about a year and a half ago. Your mother.
May a year ago.
Yes, your mother was there. She was just delightful. I
Oh,
sent
well,
you
thank
a
you.
CD of some photographs of you, your mother, the whole conference, and your daughter.
Well, she just had her 90th birthday.
That's incredible. She was
It
just full of
is,
life.
isn't it? We should all live to be that old.
And enjoy herself as much as she appears to be.
That's true. That's true. Did you remember meeting Rick Hodges
I'm sorry, I
in that
don't.
conference? Rick, he sat in the front, tall guy, bald.
Hello.
Hello,
Hi,
who have we
Adrian.
got?
Justin.
It's Justin. Justin, we already have Bill Martin online.
Hi there, Bill. How are you?
Good, Justin.
Be good.
I can hear everyone coming in. Please just say hello and tell me your name and where you're from.
Nancy
Hi,
Hancock.
Pam Perry, West Hartford, Connecticut.
Welcome.
Thank you. Who
else?
Nancy Hancock from Austin, Texas, just joined in.
Hi, Nancy Hancock from Austin, Texas.
Hello, is this Adrian?
It is. Who else is
Oh.
here?
Got Justin Harris from San Francisco, California.
Great. We're going to introduce Justin in just a few minutes. We're going to wait for a few more people to get on. By my clock, which is in Nice, by the way, I'm not in Paris, I'm in Nice, it's 7:56, so we've got 4 more minutes before we can officially start anyway. Okay, is that okay with everybody?
Works for me.
Fine.
Yes.
Okay, great. So it looks like we already have a good representation from the country. Everybody's very quiet.
I know. I was like, are we still on?
Yes, are you still on? It is Sunday morning, right?
Yes, it is.
In Texas, it's 1 o'clock, so I've already been running, swimming, jumping. I'm ready to spend some money.
That's good to hear. Okay, hello. Who joined us?
Hi, it's Linda.
Hi, Linda. Linda Sidney calling from Toronto. Okay, we're waiting for more people to come on, Linda.
Are there many people on? Oh, there we go.
Yes.
Another one.
Good.
Hello, who came on?
Hello, Eric Peterson in Atlanta.
Hi, Eric
Hi.
Peterson in Atlanta.
How y'all doing?
Hang in. We're going to wait a few more minutes and get a few more people on before I introduce Justin Harris, okay?
No problem.
Hello, who just joined us?
Barbara Westfield calling from Chicago. Hi, Adrian.
Hello, Barb from Chicago. It's beautiful down here. We're missing you in Provence.
I cannot believe you wrote about Barry Louet because that's like our little secret place.
Yes. Well, I'm now in Nice.
Oh, fun. How's the weather?
Beautiful.
Aw.
Beautiful. Everybody, Barb Westfield has a really nice house in Provence
In the Luberon?
in the Luberon. The name of the town is
Ensuite.
Ensuite. I never get it quite right.
It's Ensuite if you're Parisian, but if you're local in Provence, it's Ensuite.
Ensuite, yeah. Hello, who joined us?
Elizabeth Shermer from Seattle, and I attended your conference in San Francisco in July.
Yes, how are you? Welcome.
I'm fine. How are you?
You remember Justin. Who else came on just now?
Natalie Taylor.
Hello, Natalie Taylor. Where are you from?
Paris.
Paris.
Yeah.
Someone else just joined us. Who's that? Okay. We've got, hello.
Hi.
Who's that?
This is Michael Lammensdorf, but I'm going to go on mute.
Hi, Michael Lammensdorf. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sarasota, Florida.
All right. And someone else just came on. Say hello.
Hello. This is Deborah Bomber from Reno, Nevada.
Hello, Deborah. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm doing a countdown, and in just a minute, I've got 7:59 Nice time. So in just a minute, up 8 o'clock. So we're on. Hello, who just joined us?
Hi, this is Eleanor.
Hello, Eleanor. Your connection doesn't sound all that good.
Oh, well, I think...
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just get started. More people, I'm sure, will be joining us as we go along. You have the ability to mute yourself by hitting star and six, because what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce Justin Harris, who's a senior foreign exchange dealer with HIFX Currency Specialists. He's going to give us a presentation. We'll take about 15 to 20 minutes, and then we're going to open the conference call up to questions. My name's Adrienne Leeds. This conference call is a special offering of French Property Insider for all of you subscribers. We've been doing these conference calls as regularly as we can to bring you lots of information. We're also open to your suggestions on other kinds of information you'd like to participate in through these conference calls, so you know, feel free to write us. And I am calling you from a VOIP phone in a rental apartment in Nice near the Old Port. So it's amazing how we can organize this inexpensively, easily, and we can all communicate and exchange ideas. So I'm going to open the conversation up now with Justin Harris and let him make his presentation. And so then sit tight, and then we'll open it up for questions. Okay, Justin, thank you.
Thank you very much, Adrienne. Firstly, hi there, everybody. Just to give you a bit of a background first on HIFX, we originally started in the UK probably around 1996 and sort of initially helping corporate companies or large companies with their currency exposure. And then we saw sort of a market for private clients because we saw an increase in people like yourself obviously investing overseas. So essentially we started our private client services in 1998, assisting private clients such as yourselves with moving their money, obviously from the country they originally live in to purchase an overseas property. Originally our head office, obviously based in the UK, we've now actually got offices globally, Australasia, obviously North America. So in terms of sort of user friendliness for yourself, obviously we can assist you from any part of the globe and on any sort of time frame or any time zone, sorry. So firstly, I just need to give you, or I want to give you a bit of background about the foreign exchange market. So obviously it's not a market that's spoken about that frequently, and you don't hear much about it. You might have actually heard some more about obviously the recent dollar weakness in the recent press. But obviously everyone usually generally hears about the stock market. But to put the foreign exchange market into perspective, there's more money traded on the foreign exchange market in one day than there is in the stock market in the whole year. There's approximately $2 trillion traded on a daily basis. Now, in terms of the volatility that you see in the currency market, approximately about 95 to 98% of currency transactions that actually take place on a daily basis are, for all speculative purposes, only sort of 2 to 5% of currency transactions that take place are for commercial purposes, like obviously what you're doing with purchasing your property overseas. That's really essentially what creates the volatility in the market, and that's why I could see so much movement in the market from obviously the recent sways that we've seen and the recent dollar weakness that we've seen. That's the reason that's created due to the speculative trading that takes place. Sort of 90% of the transactions are actually U.S. dollar-based. So in terms of the volatility we see from the U.S. dollar, it puts it into perspective how much of an impact the U.S. dollar actually does have in the currency markets, and it is one of the more volatile currencies. So obviously potentially making your property quite a lot more expensive, a lot cheap, or a lot cheaper within a very short time frame. Now, in terms of obviously the usual method that you would usually take when buying currency, you would usually obviously go to your bank. Banks don't usually specialize in currency transactions. It's not obviously a main part of their business. I mean, it accounts for sort of 5 to 10% of their actual business. Sort of 50 to 70% of their profits actually come from currency transactions. So, in effect, that's where we come in, and that's where we can assist you with saving some money from obviously what you would normally receive at your bank. Other than price, I mean, we obviously always pride ourselves in offering you a better price, but other than that, there are some very key factors about the currency markets. What we're very proud of is actually our company for the past 5 years has been voted to be within the top three companies in the world at predicting currency movements. We usually sell an advisory service to large corporates, but what we try and do is we try and sort of offer the same sort of service to private clients such as yourself, assist you with the timing of your currency transaction. I mean, usually you've sort of got the initial deposit to pay, then 2 to 3 months you usually have to pay the completion payment. So within that 2 to 3 months, what I would try and essentially do is put together a strategy to try and minimize your risk, but also try and buy the currency for you at the best time using, obviously, our consultants that obviously provide the resources to obviously help you with the timing of your currency transactions. I mean, we're often featured in sort of the Financial Times. You might see us on CNBC, Bloomberg, giving our opinions on the market. And as I say, what we try and do for you is we try and assist you with the timing of your currency transaction by using the information that we actually get from our consultants in terms of predictions and so on with the currency markets. So essentially, I mean, one thing that we always say to our clients is that, so you can go and look at a property now. That property is obviously quoted in one price, but then if you go again in sort of 2 to 3 months, it's still the same price, but potentially that property could be a different cost. So essentially what we try and do is we try and keep that green property of yours within your reach. Within 2 to 3 months, you could easily find out that that property is too expensive for you and you can't afford it. So one property that you could originally afford now, in 2 to 3 months, potentially you could not afford. So that's something that we try and assist you with, and obviously we don't want to let that dream property sort of move away from your reach. So in essence, I mean, just to put this into perspective here, let's say you were looking at a property priced at 100,000 euros, let's say, and you were looking at that property in January of this year. That property in January would have cost you $129,000. So 100,000 euros would have cost you $129,000 at that point in January 2007. That was the beginning of. Then moving through to April of 2007, which is the sort of usual closing period for a property in France, usually anywhere between 2 to 3 months. That property then, if you didn't or you neglected to do anything with the currency exchange or fix your rate or anything like that, that property at that point would then have cost you $136,000. So in essence, within that sort of 3 month period, obviously we're looking at a sort of fairly modestly priced property, 100,000 euros. If we're talking 500,000 euros, obviously it would be quite a bit more of an impact. But that property went up in cost to you within that 3 month period by approximately 5.5%, which is obviously quite a considerable amount of money. I mean, that potentially could be the renovation of a property, obviously the money that potentially you were going to use to fix that property up or what have you. That money then potentially could have been fizzled out just simply with the currency exchange or the movements, obviously, that we saw sort of over a three-month period. So what we try and offer is, obviously, we try and offer some different options to you, and we try and help you put a strategy in place to obviously negate that risk and obviously make sure that risk isn't going to affect you with your property purchase. So in essence, when you actually buy currency, you've got two different options available to yourself. In terms of the options that you actually have available, the first one is what's called a spot contract, which is very, very straightforward. In essence, it's a buy now, pay now strategy. So I would obviously give you a rate of exchange. If you were happy with the rate, then simply we would agree, you would agree to buy the currency over the phone, and then you would have sort of about 5 business days to pay in full for the amount of euros. Now, the only problem with that is, let's say in January you were looking at your property. The only way, obviously, you could use the spot contract and simply buy all the currency in January when you originally looked at your property, but you weren't looking to obviously send those euros over till April. Now, the only problem with that, obviously, for one, is that you're tying up all your money now. You might not have the money available at that point in time. You might have to release equity from your property or something along those lines. So that option might not always be a good option to you. So the other type of option that we offer is all the currency. You can basically purchase currency on is what's called a forward contract.
Repeat that, please.
And in essence, what that is it allows you to secure a rate of exchange to a later date, but you don't have to pay the full amount now. So let's say you look at a property in January, and the rate of exchange is at that point in time 1.29. So effectively it's going to cost you $1.29 to buy 1 euro. And at that point, that's your budgeted level. You can't afford any more than that, and you want to secure the cost of your property. You can, if you didn't have the money at that point in time, you still have the option to be able to do that. You can still secure a rate on a forward contract. And how that works is let's say you were transferring over, let's say, the equivalent to $100,000. The way in which a forward contract works is you would need to pay the equivalent to 10% initially. So if it was $100,000, obviously using round numbers, it's easier. You would effectively pay $10,000 initially. That would secure your rate until the completion date of your property, let's say in 3 months' time. And then at that point in time, you pay the remaining 90% balance. So throughout that whole period, you actually have a secured rate, but you only have to pay 10% now, and then when that payment actually has to be sent over in 3 months' time, you then pay the remaining 90% balance. And
so that means, Justin, the remaining $90,000 can be sitting in some sort of interest-bearing account.
Correct.
Until it has to be paid 3 months later.
Exactly right. I mean, in essence, you'll get... Pardon, sorry?
Is there a rate advantage between spot and forward?
In terms of the difference in rates, at the moment, as the interest rates are so... The way in which the forward contract rate is established is... When we set up a forward contract, a lot of the time there can be a difference in price on a forward contract. And the reason for that is interest rate differentials. So let's say, for example, at the moment I'm holding on to US dollars and I'm buying euros. Obviously, US dollars effectively will generate approximately, let's say, 5.5% worth of interest at the moment. Euros will generate, let's say, 4% worth of interest. So in essence, we're actually buying those euros for you now, so we're generating less interest, which effectively is sort of compensated into the rate of exchange. So potentially, in terms of your price on a three-month contract, it wouldn't be hardly any different. I mean, to give you an example, if you bought the currency now and paid for it now on a spot contract, you'd be looking at a rate of, let's say at the moment, this point in time, 1.35. If you did it on a forward contract, you'd be looking for sort of 3 months, you'd be looking at a rate of 1.3510. That there's a very, very minimal difference in terms of a forward contracted rate as opposed to a spot contracted rate. So there is a slight difference, but it's very, very minimal. And in terms of the benefit that you'll have with a forward contract, as you're only paying 10% now and securing your rate to a later date, you're not having to tie up that 400%. So you're not obviously, you're not going to lose out on the interest of that 90% that you're holding on to. So you obviously pay 10% now. That 90%, you're either not having to pay interest on it based on a mortgage payment or in terms of interest that you potentially could generate from a savings account or something like that. If you left that money in an account for a further 3 months on a forward contract, effectively you'll generate yourself sort of maybe another 2% worth of interest on those funds. So that would negate the difference in terms of the actual difference in rate of exchange from the spot on the four-week contract. Does everyone understand that? Or?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's a huge advantage.
Yeah,
it's a huge advantage, especially because when you're buying property and you sign initially on a promesse de vente where you have to put down a 10% deposit, you don't need to come up with the rest of the money until for 2 to 3 months later. So it can be a tremendous advantage to do that and to secure the rate.
But the money, but the rate could also, I mean, the dollar could even get weaker, so it could also go the other way.
Correct. That's the major benefit of setting your well, setting yourself up.
You mean stronger, don't you?
Exactly.
It gets weaker to your advantage.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. In terms of a forward contract, the way in which I always look at it is that if you buy, obviously, currency on a forward basis and the rate of exchange, obviously, potentially moves in your favor in that period, so it could have cost you less. It's very annoying and very irritating, but if you don't do anything and the rate moves against you, then it's actually costing you money, rather than if you actually did set up a four-week contract, rather than it just be irritating because the rate's moved against you. If you haven't done anything at all and that rate moves lower, then obviously it's actually costing you money. I think there's many ways of looking at it. In essence, you're obviously buying a property overseas. I think the major importance is knowing what you're going to pay for that property. If you were in the U.S. and effectively you had a contract in front of you and someone said to you, okay, sign this contract, so you're buying this property, but in 3 months' time when you complete, the property could be 10% cheaper or it could be 10% more expensive, you would never do that. You would obviously always want to know exactly where you stood from day one when you bought that property.
Right.
And that's really the major benefit of using the four-week contract, simply just know where you stand, or even just buying all the currency straight away. If you're in a position where you have all the money, it's always a good idea just to get yourself secured so you know exactly where you stand, obviously, at a later date. Now, in terms of that's obviously a straightforward, those are just straightforward transactions. So, obviously, if you're paying in cash and you're just using US dollars to buy your property in full, then obviously those are the two options that you have available to yourself. Now, in terms of, obviously, an overseas mortgage, potentially some of you will be taking mortgages over in France. Now, if that's the case, we actually also offer a service called a regular payment abroad program. And in essence, that helps clients like yourself pay mortgage payments, pension payments, things along those lines. And at the moment, let's say you were just paying off, obviously, a mortgage on a monthly basis. You had to get 1,000 euros over each month. Obviously, the first option you can take is simply to buy a lump sum of funds and just leave those on account to obviously cover your mortgage for the course of a year. Very straightforward basis. Some people might not be in a position or don't have all that money available to actually do that. So they have to be paying the mortgage on a monthly basis, so transferring the money over each month when they actually get the money available. So at the moment, obviously, you would just simply go to your bank each month and just arrange a transfer on a monthly basis. In terms of the expense, it's going to cost you $25 to $30 each time you do that. See, it's a real pain to actually go to your bank and organize that each month. And in terms of the risk each month, obviously, the rate of exchange is going to be moving. So in essence, it could cost you more money 1 month than it does from each month. It's just going to cost you a different amount. So, in essence, obviously, it's very difficult, it's expensive, and also there's a risk there because it could cost you $150 more 1 month. It could continue to get more expensive with the way in which the rates of exchange have recently been moving. So, in terms of what we offer, we can actually, in terms of our regular payment abroad service, we can actually secure a rate for you for the course of a year, anything from 6 months to 24 months. And the way in which our regular payment service works is you actually have a fixed rate of exchange throughout the term of your contract, from anywhere from 6 to 24 months. And what we actually do is rather than you arrange a transfer of funds to us each month, we would actually set up, I think you call it an ACH payment, a direct debit. So in essence, we would just directly withdraw the funds out of your account each month, and then we'd forward them over at the fixed rate of exchange for you on a monthly basis. So there's no transfer cost because we take the money from your account The rate of exchange is secured, so you know exactly what you're paying each month. And there are no transfer costs our end either. So in terms of the charge, there aren't any charges, and it's very, very simple and straightforward. It's effectively like you paying a mortgage in the US, except we're doing and taking care of all the transfer needs for you to obviously get those funds into your account each month for your mortgage payment in France.
Justin, can that money be transferred directly to the bank that holds the mortgage, or does it have to go into your personal bank account?
No, it can go wherever you want us to send the funds. So if there's a specific account that you have for mortgage payments, then we can transfer the funds directly to that account. That's not a problem at all.
Okay.
So whichever account details you supply us, we can send the funds to. The only restriction that you have is in terms of the account that we withdraw the funds from, it has to be from an account in the client's name or whoever registers and opens the account.
Okay, but it is a wire transfer.
In terms of us forwarding the funds over, do you mean?
Yes.
Yes, it is, yeah. It goes on a SWIFT payment. So,
okay.
As I say, obviously we direct debit the funds from the account in the U.S. and then we wire transfer over the funds to France. And that's done free of charge by us. We cover those transfer charges.
I ask that because some banks do actually charge to accept wire transfers.
Okay. I mean, in terms
of... So it's something that, for everyone who has a French bank account and they're doing the RPA, the regular payments abroad, and it's coming into their account, they should double-check with their bank if there are charges for incoming wires.
I mean, in terms of that, Adrian, can you actually does it vary from bank to bank in terms of charges? I mean, I've never actually had any clients say to me that they've got charges on the French side. I've had it with Spanish banks, Italian banks, but never with French banks before.
No. It's totally bank to bank. And even my U.S. bank a few months ago started to institute charges on incoming wire transfers, not just outgoing. So it's not just French banks; it's U.S. as well.
Okay.
I second that, too. That happened in our bank, too.
What sort of
either ingoing or outgoing.
In the U.S. or in France?
U.S.
Okay.
U.S.
So you see, they're finding new ways of charging us.
Mm-hmm. I think it was $39 for one transaction.
So, I mean, that's a pure example. If you had to sort of transfer money over each month and it was sort of like, let's say, $1,500 on a monthly basis, and each month you were paying $39 to do that, and also obviously being stung, so to speak, on the rate of exchange by your bank, I mean, even if it was just the transfer charge alone, that's still going to cost to the quarter of the year $480. So in essence, you'll be saving that alone. So that's one major benefit of the service that we offer. I mean, I think the real benefit of it is that you don't have to do anything. It's just automated for you. So we take the funds from your account, we send them over, and there's a fixed rate of exchange. So in terms of what you're getting, you know exactly what you're getting each month, and it doesn't cost you anything in terms of arranging transfers or anything like that. I mean, that's the real benefit of it.
Well, and I'd like to add something to that, because in France, if you overdraw a bank account, it is serious business.
It's illegal.
You don't ever want to do that. It's criminal action.
Is it illegal to be overdrawn in your account in France? It is, isn't it?
Yes. And they charge very high fees, and you have to make it good within a certain amount of time, and your name gets listed on the Banque de France, and then you can't borrow money, and they'll actually attach the assets and shut down your bank account. So, in other words, by using the RPA, you really also remove that risk as well, that you should become overdrawn at any point.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's only a small amount, a lot of my clients actually sort of set it up so they've just got a small amount going into their accounts in France just to keep their accounts maintained, so to speak. I mean, a lot of them just do it with $500 per month just so they have enough money to pay any sort of small bills that potentially are coming out of their account, or if they do have any bills sort of in the long run, they just like building up a certain amount of funds in that account. So that's a lot of the time what it's actually used for. Even if you don't have a mortgage, we can still set something like that up just so you have money going into that account regularly. So
how fast can you set that up? In other words, if you're watching the dollar and you see that the dollar dipped, as it did a couple of weeks ago, down to, say, 133,
yeah,
can you make a phone call to you and get it in there right then and there and get that lower rate?
Yes, you can. Basically, what happens is when initially we have to set up a trading facility for you. I mean, once that's done, you can call me at any point in time, and I can secure a rate by just taking your verbal instruction over the phone. Now, in terms of, let's say you saw the rates dip 133, like obviously we recently have seen, it's now back up to around 137. Now, you can just simply give me a call at that point in time and say, Justin, I want to lock in a rate of exchange. I'll say, this is the rate I can do for you, and then we would just simply confirm it over the phone. You don't need to send us any money, first of all, before we can secure a rate. As soon as you give me your instruction over the phone, I will actually buy the currency based on your verbal instruction. In terms of setting up the regular payments, usually it takes about sort of 5 days to get the direct withdrawal authorized from your bank. And then as soon as that's done, that's the major part of it, and then it simply can go from there. It usually takes about 5 days to get, as I say, that direct withdrawal set up, but then as soon as that's done, then the regular payment can start. Okay. I mean, in terms of, obviously, the major benefits of using us, it's pretty just, I really try and reiterate to my clients that one of the major benefits is not just price. Everyone always focuses on price. What I really try and focus on is trying to help you with the timing of your currency transaction, which really you get no help with at all at your bank. I mean, generally when you speak to banks, they don't know much about currency transactions, or the person that you're speaking with won't know much about what's going on in the currency market. And that's a real benefit of currency specialists such as us. So I will just try and assist you with locking in at the best point in time. Let's say you told me there was a specific rate that you were looking to achieve. Let's say it was sort of 133. I would keep in a call. Basically, I have a certain amount of clients that are on my call list, and I'll call you when it hits a particular rate and say, okay, the rates have dropped to this level. I think it might be a good time for you to lock into a rate at the moment. That kind of thing I see as sort of a much more beneficial part of our service than just the price.
You definitely cannot do that with your standard commercial bank.
That's sort of the end of my talk. I mean, one thing that we always say is that location, location, currency is our major slogan. So in terms of obviously the property that you're looking at, it's very important that you actually get your currency aspect looked at. Even before you go and look for a property, I think it's important to talk to a currency specialist before you go, because obviously we can tell you the potential obviously losses and gains you can make in the currency markets over sort of a 3 month period, if that was the time window that you were looking at, and I could tell you how expensive your property potentially could be or how cheap it could get, so you obviously knew what you needed to be working with. So I mean, it's really Q&A session now, really. If anyone wants to ask any questions, if there's anything I can answer, go ahead.
I'd like, Justin, if you don't mind, to explain what you mean by setting up a trading facility.
Okay. Well, initially what happens is I would usually take my clients through sort of a session like I have just done with all of you now. Setting up a trading facility involves you simply obviously opening up an account with us, signing our terms and conditions, sending back a copy of a passport or some sort of identification, like a driving license maybe, or a passport, some identification, and a proof of residence as well. So a utility bill or bank statement dated within the last 3 months. Once I receive those three documents back, then we can get a trading facility set up. It's really just money laundering diligence is the reason we have to do that. When you actually do open an account with us, no financial obligation, no commitments or anything like that. It just simply puts you in a position to get a rate from us, and then you can obviously get that comparative quote from your bank, and then you can really see what the tangible savings are at that point. As I say, setting up a trading facility obviously then allows you to speak to me. I can then obviously give you some rates of exchange, and then if you want to proceed with the transaction from that point, then you are in a position to do so once you actually have that trading facility set up.
Are you the primary contact?
I will be the primary contact. in terms of who you would need to speak to initially, you would need to speak to either my colleague Jen Anderson or Brian Westwater. Those are the two people that manage Adrian's account. That they would effectively just do exactly what I've done with you now. So they would explain the service, the benefits. You obviously wouldn't need to do that again. So you can just ask them to send across terms and conditions, or if you want me to, I could send them out to you. And then obviously you would just be dealing with me, and I'll be your main points of contact from there on.
What are their names again?
Jen Anderson.
Okay.
And Brian Westwater.
Brian Westwater's name and contact information is on the French Property Loan, FrenchPropertyLoan.com site. Or anytime you see an HIFX logo on any of our French Property Insider or French Property Consultation sites, if you click on that, it'll take you to an information sheet about HIFX with all the contact information.
I've got a question about rates again.
Go ahead.
About two transactions, the rate you get depends upon how much you're transferring. And does that same thing hold true with RPAs?
In terms of how much you transfer on a monthly basis, that is great. The larger the amount you transfer, then the tighter I can get you to the market price. It will be relevant to the rate of exchange you get in terms of how much you're trading, yes.
Okay. I didn't get any of that. I didn't understand any of that.
Okay, so in terms of the larger amount of money that you transfer over on a monthly basis,
uh-huh.
that will enable me to give you a price. So the larger the amount you trade, the better the price you're going to get, the better the rate of exchange you'll get.
The better the price for the money, okay.
Correct.
I heard you that time.
That's true in almost everything you do.
Right.
So in effect, if you're transferring $500 on a monthly basis or you're transferring $5,000 on a monthly basis, you're obviously going to get a much better price on the $5,000. It's exactly the same with obviously the larger transactions as well, so or the one-off transactions. The larger the amount you trade, then the better the rate you'll get.
Is there a minimum or maximum amount per month that you'll work with?
The usual minimum I work with is usually about $400 per month.
Okay.
I think anything sort of below that amount, then the rates of exchange potentially can get quite considerably worse, and I like to keep my rates of exchange competitive as they can be, and that's really based, I would turn $400 per month as a minimum transaction usually. I can do that.
I don't know anyone that has a mortgage that low.
Yeah.
And then is there a max?
I mean, it's just unlikely.
Is there a max at all?
There's no maximum, no.
No max, okay.
No.
Could you define RPA? I must have missed that.
Okay. It's regular payment abroad.
Regular payment abroad. All right.
And that can be anything varying from a pension payment, mortgage payment, as I say, just maintaining your account.
Okay.
I mean, it falls under many categories, though.
Okay. I guess I keep thinking that, you know, I transfer the amount of money for the year, I buy that, and then I don't worry about it for a year. Like you said, then I know how much it is for that year. And then the next year I look at it. I'm sorry?
Sorry, go ahead.
And then the next year I look at it again and I think, okay, I want to lock this rate in again for another year or whatever the rate at that time is. And that's what I'm thinking, just like on a yearly basis rather than every month looking at this.
I mean,
It is Nancy, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you could do that, but when you let's say you're holding those funds in an interest-bearing account in the States.
Yes.
And you're transferring it to a checking account in France, which has no interest on it.
Right.
So that's one of the advantages.
Okay, I understand that, and I'm not, you know, stinking rich, but I'm thinking if I'm going to buy something in France, this is an emotional investment, and I'm talking about nickels and dimes, and I'm talking about interest on $1,000, $2,000 a month. And I'm not saying that in any nasty way. I'm just saying realistically,
right?
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking, you know, it's not worth my time to monitor this over a year's time. So am I thinking really wrong, or is this – because I just can't imagine that 5% interest on this amount of money is going to be that much.
Well, in terms of the regular payment, your rate is actually secured for the course of the year,
right,
or anything from 6 months to 24 months. So each month that the money's being transferred, it's not going to be a different rate of exchange each month.
Exactly.
The rate of exchange is obviously secured over the term of the contract.
Right.
It's really a cash flow thing. I mean, if you have sort of regular outgoings each month, then the regular payment service will work very well for you. But let's say if you had a certain amount that you wanted to spend over the course of a year, but 1 month you're going to be spending, let's say it was a total of $10,000 over the course of the year. 1 month you're spending $5,000, then the next month you're going to be spending $500, then maybe 1 month it's $3,000, then the regular payment isn't going to work for you very well, because obviously it's going to be a regular amount that's going into your account each month.
Right.
That's the only way it potentially won't work. But the reason it does become beneficial to a lot of people is because it's more of a cash flow thing. A lot of them don't want to tie up. A lot of my clients don't want to tie up $20,000 and just leave it in an account in France over the course of the year if they don't need it, all of that there right now.
Okay.
They just like to transfer it over each month as and where it needs to be there, if that makes any sense. Because obviously they're still generating interest from their funds in the U.S., may it be a small amount, but they still prefer to sort of, I don't know, just have their funds over here rather than...
And since there's essentially no charge, there's no reason not to go ahead and just keep the money in your account in America.
Indeed. I mean, as I say, it works well if you sort of have a regular amount that you need to have there each month, but if you had sort of very wide or very varied amounts that you needed each month, or it was potentially spontaneous transactions, and the regular payment service wouldn't work very well for you.
Okay.
Well, and let me just give you one example, too. Let's say it's a rental property, and your rentals are coming in the form of dollars. Okay, they're being paid in the form of dollars to your U.S. account. They're not going directly into your French account in euros.
Okay.
So consequently, maybe you're not sitting with a large sum of money, you know, that you can transfer over at one time, once a year.
Okay.
So you just want to eke it over little by little.
Okay.
As it's being paid, then in effect, the rental that you're achieving on that property is covering the mortgage.
Right.
And then NHIFX is doing all the work for you, so you don't have to think about it.
How does, with due respect, I just can't figure out how this money, the Forex, how it works that they're making money if they're not charging me anything to do this.
So in terms of how we make our money, we make our money exactly the same way that the banks make theirs. It's just that the banks take a very excessive spread. So the difference between what they buy the currency at and what they sell it at is a much bigger difference than what we charge to our clients. In terms of the transfer charges as well, you know, when you go to your bank and they sort of charge you $40 to arrange that transfer.
I gotcha.
It only really costs, I mean, we pay, I think, sort of $2.50 for a transfer. And that's the real cost. And your bank sort of makes quite a big markup in terms of what they charge, let's say $40. I mean, it varies from bank to bank. It can be anywhere between $20 and $50. And that is just a big markup on what it really actually costs to make that transfer, because it only costs us $2.50 to arrange each transfer that we make. We just obviously don't put a markup on that difference.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
And I hope I can verbalize this right, because I'm not sure I even understand. But I'm just weighing the difference between taking out a French mortgage versus doing, say, a refinance on my property here in the States and paying cash for a French property. Like, what would be the difference, and what would be the advantages of doing one versus the other?
I mean,
well, I can certainly answer that question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The interest on mortgages in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Are quite a bit higher than they are in France.
Ah.
So if you take an equity release or refinance on a property in the U.S., what's the interest right now? 6.5, 7, something like that? And in France right now, you're looking more at 4.5.
Oh, okay.
So there's, you know, it's going to cost you a lot more to do that on your U.S. property than it would if you just took some sort of a mortgage on the French side.
Okay.
You can still
deduct
the interest payments you make on a French mortgage on your U.S. tax return.
There's
no disadvantage.
Say that one more time. The interest.
You can also deduct on your U.S. tax return.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you can deduct mortgage interest?
Yes.
Well, you can also deduct the mortgage interest on a French mortgage as well.
Oh,
so
okay.
There's no disadvantage.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question about when I purchased, this is Nancy in Texas, when I purchased my house, and I had a mortgage. My mortgage was sold a couple of times, and so I ended up having to pay, you know, a different mortgage company. Does that happen in France where they're selling mortgages all the time?
I've never seen that happen.
In France?
No.
Okay.
I've never seen that happen in France, no.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it doesn't.
Well, I was just thinking how, is it Justin?
Yes.
Was saying that, you know, we could set it up so that the payment goes directly to the mortgage, wherever we have the mortgage.
Yeah.
But if that's changing, then that would be something that would have to be attended to.
I mean, if that's
yeah, but I'm not 100% sure either that the lender would want that to happen. They, you know, when you set up a mortgage with a French bank or a French lender, they ask you for what's called a RIB, R-I-B, which stands for Relevé d'identité bancaire, and that means that they can automatically debit your French bank account every month.
Okay.
So I'm not even certain that they would accept payments directly from HIFX. That's something we'd have to ask them.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the time to ask this question, but would you just clarify the being able to write off the mortgage? Do you have to report it as a business property or something else, or can you just, for the French mortgage, can you just have it and write it off?
You just declare it as interest on your tax return.
Hmm.
Pretty simple. And it works.
I mean, I know from experience, I mean, in terms of a property in the UK that I used to own, in terms of what you do there, you can just simply, as Adrian says, you can just write it off. I just went to a tax consultant. They just helped me do it all, and I got a massive rebate for it. So, I mean, you can definitely do that. And it's a very nice benefit as well.
Yeah.
In fact, it just makes a lot of sense to take a mortgage in today's economic environment. And this is a whole other conversation, which probably leads to another conference call, talking about mortgages themselves. But it does make sense to do that, to take a mortgage at this point, and it does certainly make sense to use the RPA, unless you want to hassle with it yourself, and also play the game of whether the rate of exchange is going to go up or down.
Mm-hmm. Can Justin give us an idea of what he thinks is going to happen?
Good question.
Your expertise?
Let me get my crystal ball out.
Yes, please get two out of three, whatever.
I mean, in terms of the outlook for the U.S. dollar, the outlook, unfortunately, is pretty negative on our side. I mean, I don't think it's going to go much beyond sort of 139.5, 140 over the next 3 to 6 months. But at the moment, we're sort of not placing our views any more than sort of over 6 months. So I would say, I mean, I'm expecting to see more dollar weakness. So I think we could probably see this move up to around 139, 139.5. But
ooh, that's painful.
There's a lot of companies that are actually talking about moves all the way up to sort of 143 to 145. But our views aren't quite as pessimistic as that, should I say. But I think, obviously, this recent move that we saw in terms of the dollar strength that we recently saw with the rates moving down sort of 133, 133.5, I mean, that was really sort of a pot of luck, only because we're obviously in terms of what happened with the stock markets, that actually had quite a nice effect on how we saw the dollar progress, and we actually saw a nice amount of dollar strength, and that was specifically down to what happened in the stock markets recently and everything that we've obviously been seeing in the press. But now that's sort of started to pass, and things have started to calm down. We're now starting to see the dollar lose its strength again. People are moving funds from the US, starting to buy overseas investments and so on, and that's just causing the dollar to weaken. And I think one major problem in the US, or everything that they always relate back to here in terms of how weak the dollar is the current account deficit. They say that's potentially going to sort of narrow mid to end of 2008, and if it does, that will be a real big benefit for the US dollar. But at the moment, I think that potentially could continue to widen. Also, there's no real outlook as to where interest rates are going to be sort of over the next 6 to 12 months. That's causing uncertainty with the dollar as well. But I think there's potential further weakness to come from the US dollar. I think we could see moves back up to sort of 138.5, 139 fairly soon, but I don't think it's going to break much beyond that sort of level.
What's today's rate, Justin?
Recently, the last rate I saw was sort of 136.5 at the moment.
Mhm. Sounds like we need to move money very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, recently with these sort of moves down to 134 that we just saw sort of over the past week, 133, it was like 133.80, 134 at the very low points. At those points, I pretty much got every single one of my clients closed in and the majority of them locked in down at those sort of levels. I don't think you're going to see it break much beyond those sort of areas. If we see another retracement down to 134 again, or there or thereabouts, I would definitely think about locking something in at those sort of areas.
Hi, this is Debbie in Reno. If I could ask a question just about mortgages generally in France, is the process for qualifying for a loan or getting a mortgage in France much different than it is in the United States, or is it quite similar?
The process is pretty similar, but everything you ever knew about mortgages in the U.S., throw out the window and start over, okay? Because in France, a variable rate mortgage is the most popular for a variety of reasons. And, you know, one of the advantages to a variable rate mortgage in France is that the payment stays the same, but the term changes as the rate changes. And then you can pay into it at any time with no penalties. So this is a perfect example of how you can also use HIFX to transfer money into a variable rate mortgage when the rate is good, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a lot more flexibility by doing that.
So, Adrian, you mean that we could pay down the mortgage if – because, of course, it scares me to death when you say the term changes, because all of a sudden I have a 20-year.
There is no all of a sudden, and as I said, this is a whole other conversation.
Okay.
I don't want to get too deep. No, it's okay. I don't want to get too deep into it.
Okay.
But when you take a variable rate loan and you are informed every 3 months that the rate has changed, your monthly payment stays the same, but the term of the loan changes, and there is a ceiling on that term, and you can – you can fix the rate at any point with no penalties, and you can pay. You can do early redemption with no penalties. So it's a huge advantage to take a variable rate mortgage in France.
Perhaps that's another conference call we could have.
It is. We're going to do that one next. I think we need to talk about it.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Justin?
I have another one.
Cool.
This is Nancy again. I am curious about someone else had asked this too about what is our next step? We need to contact you and send $10,000 to you to buy more money with. I mean, to buy euros with, or we just need to get you these three documents that you had told us earlier.
Correct. That's the first step.
Okay.
What I'll do is I'll get, if you're happy with that, your email address from Adrian,
okay.
And I will send over sort of our information pack on email to you along with the registration documents.
Okay.
And then if you send those back to me, that will be the first step, because then we can have your trading facility set up and put in place.
Okay.
Now, in terms of the facility you have with us, you don't need to put any money into the account. It's not like that. The way in which it works is we would agree a rate first. So I would give you a rate of exchange. If you were happy with the rate, we would agree the rate of exchange so you knew exactly what you were getting.
Right.
And then you would arrange payment to us after we've agreed on a rate. And you would usually have sort of 1 to 5 business days to organize that payment over to us, obviously of the amount that we agreed. And then you just supply me the details for where you want me to send your euros to. And I'll forward your euros free of charge to the account that you stipulate.
Oh, okay. So we have to have that French bank account set up.
Well, you don't have to have it set up. I mean, you can – obviously, I can't issue you cash. I can issue you a banker's draft. So if you were going to set it up, you could take the draft with you and deposit it into the account when you open it.
Okay.
But you can buy the euros. You can leave the euros on account with us. And then, obviously, when you have your account set up, then supply me the bank details, and I'll forward your money over at that point for you.
Okay. And so it's
so Nancy, go ahead and get the account set up with Justin.
Okay.
Okay? And then when you're in Paris and you're looking at properties, we will go see a bank, open a bank account for you, and then when that bank account is open, and a French bank doesn't need money to open an account.
Okay.
They do this half with no money, believe it or not.
Wow.
Then you can go ahead and give Justin the instructions to wire it over.
Okay. And as far as, like, something you had said earlier made me think about, like, if I want to buy stock when I'm in my brokerage account, I'll say if ABC stock goes to X number, please buy 100 shares.
Yep.
And then, and it's a similar type thing where I say if the euro goes to 1.34, give me a call.
Well, you can do two different things. You can do a limit order, which in effect is like your stock order that you put in place. And you can say to me, when the euro hits 1.34, I want to exchange $25,000, something like that.
Okay. All right.
We can do that, and there can be an automated order in place. So when that does happen, it automatically does the transaction. Alternatively, a lot of my clients actually still like to speak to me before they actually place that transaction or before it's done. And so I just put in a call level and I'll call you when it hits a particular level. And then,
okay,
because at that point the rate could be plummeting, let's say, for example, because something's recently happened, like we obviously saw with the stock markets recently. One of my clients might have had an order in at sort of 136, but this downward movement that we were seeing, potentially I think it could, at that point in time, I thought it could potentially get down to 134. So I would call my client and then would readdress what they would want to do at that point, whether they just want to buy that currency or alternatively hold out for a lower level. And the problem with the market order is once you actually put that order in place, that is automated and it's automatically triggered. But whereas if it's just a call level, then nothing's done until I actually get your confirmation over the phone. But, I mean, it's completely up to you. The benefit of the order is it's active 24 hours. Monday through Friday, it's active 24 hours of the day. Whereas, obviously, my call level is only in when I'm obviously in the office between 6 and 5. So that's the difference.
Okay, I have another question. Were you surprised by this little dip we had?
It was a shock for the market. As I say, I think it was really based on the movement that we saw in the stock markets that caused this dollar strength. I mean, a lot of overseas investments and people who have bought actual overseas investments, obviously using U.S. dollar funds to do so, we're bringing a lot of money back to the U.S., and we just saw the U.S. dollar gain some strength due to that, and that was due to the scare in the stock markets. And I think now we're obviously seeing that sort of fizzle out, so to speak, and it's not as bad as obviously it was reported 2 weeks ago, and we're now just starting to see the dollar weaken again. But it was a surprise, yes. I don't think anyone expected it. They couldn't expect it because no one expected what happened with the stock market. So.
Right. Do you see any issues with this subprime lending, this subprime mortgage problem we're having in the States? Do you see any ramifications from that, or pretty much your prediction is 1.4 at the end of the year?
I don't think we're going to see 1.4 at the end. Yeah, it's going to be potentially anywhere between, I'd say, 139.50, 1.4, I would say, by sort of January, February of next year.
Okay.
In terms of the subprime lending, everyone buys the rumor and sells the fact in the currency markets. It's been spoken about for a long time, and now we're just starting to see things come into fruition, and we're actually seeing all the problems, the major problems are now occurring with the subprime lending. But I don't think it's going to have that much of an effect. I think, it's been an issue for the past 6 months. It's really now just starting to actually materialize, and we're actually seeing the real problems of that subprime issue. But it was already factored into the market beforehand. I don't think it's going to have that much more of an effect, to be honest with you. I was just looking at reports on CNBC the other day, and they said new home sales in the U.S. were up 200,000 over previous months. So I think it was something like 870,000 new homes sold in the month of July, which was 200,000 up on June. So I don't think the subprime lending issue is as bad as it's being made out to be. But I think it's gradually going to get worse because, I mean, over this sort of, if you look at the period about when the subprime, or when people were lending and you could pay, so the Neg M mortgages that they were offering, where people could pay minimum payments of sort of 1% or 3%,
right,
all of those mortgages were issued for probably around 3 years. So I think we're just starting to see the beginning of that subprime issue now, and I think it's going to materialize over the next 2 years, and potentially it could get worse. but I don't think it's going to have an effect on the dollar. I think it's already factored into the market. So.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Bev in Nebraska again. And, Justin, I have a question again about the 6 to 12-month long-term, the euro versus dollar rate.
Yeah.
Could you go over again the big picture? What are the dynamics that will make this happen worldwide?
I don't understand what you mean, sorry.
What are the conditions that will make the euro dollar rate what it is and what is and why it's going to stay that way?
Okay. I mean, in terms of the euro side of things, I mean, if you look at how the euro sort of performed over the past year and a half, as it's a relatively new currency, we're just continuing to see strength, or it's actually quite stable, and we don't see that much volatility on the euro side. The majority of volatility is coming from the US dollar side. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the sort of future outlooks, I think the consensus for the US market at the moment is just negative. I mean, as I say, we're running a very high deficit here that hasn't been narrowed for obviously a long time. It's continued to stay at sort of $60 billion for quite a while. And it hasn't come down. That's one creating dollar weakness in itself. But in terms of, if you look sort of about 2 years ago, can you remember when interest rates were at 1% in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw, obviously, continual interest rate rises over a two-year period. In essence, over that two-year period, while interest rates were continuing to rise in the U.S., we actually saw quite a lot of U.S. dollar strength. And that's when the euro dollar rate was sort of down at one sort of 118, 119 there or thereabouts. Now, if you look at how interest rates are in the U.S. and how they could potentially be in the future, in terms of in the interest rate outlook, no one knows what's going to happen with the interest rates. So there's more of an uncertain factor in the U.S. market, and that uncertainty is what creates weakness to a currency. A lot of countries like the Gulf states mostly, a lot of the Emirate countries were holding a lot of their reserves in U.S. dollars. There's now sort of no, should I say, certainty as to where the U.S. market is going to be, so they've begun to move a lot of their reserves away from the U.S. dollar, and they've started putting their funds into countries or into currencies like the euro. We've recently seen a lot of investment into the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar. And what we're seeing is people gradually moving their funds away from the U.S. because there's no certainty in the U.S. market at the moment. I think there will be in 12 months' time, but there isn't at the moment. And that is what is going to create the dollar weakness, I think, over the next sort of 6 months.
Oh, thank you very much.
Foreign property purchases are actually contributing to the weak dollar.
Well, as I say, I mean, everyone's starting to, and it's not, I'm not just talking of countries, I'm putting that as a big perspective. Obviously, mm-hmm. countries are moving a lot of their reserves away from the U.S., but also a lot of people that are in the U.S. are now looking at overseas investment, and they're obviously...
Like we are.
Exactly right, and there's a lot more people buying overseas properties now, buying overseas investments. A lot of people, actually, a lot of my clients are actually buying a lot of overseas stocks at the moment because there's no faith in the U.S. market currently, and I think that's only because of the way things are at this moment in time. I think maybe once George Bush goes in sort of 12 to 18 months' time, that potentially might create some sort of strength to the U.S. dollar because I think the uncertainty factor, a lot of it is coming from him in terms of the war and so on. But I think sort of the next 6 to 12 months potentially we might at that point start to see some dollar strength. But over the next 6 months, I think we're going to see the dollar remain fairly weak and maybe gradually weaken a little bit more.
Any other questions?
Hi, Justin.
And minutes left.
Hey, Ben, it's Ralph here.
Hi,
late.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Yeah. No questions, just listening.
I just listening. Okay, are there any more questions from anybody?
Nope. Okay, then I think we should go ahead and end this call. I want to thank everyone for participating. For all of you out there, and we'll let you know when our next one comes up, and it looks like our next one should be talking about mortgages. And I want to thank Justin Harris, who is calling in from San Francisco, and when you call HIFX, that's where you will be calling, is San Francisco. And so thanks to all of you, and we'll see you online.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you. Everything.
Have a great Sunday. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.